Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome to the last and final Daf of Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. We are on the bottom of Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. Says the Gemara three lines from the bottom. Ha'pigul v'hanoisar mitame esayadayim. Mishnah tells us, midirabbanan, there was a tumah established and applied to pigul and to noisar. If one touches these things, his hands become tamei. The Gemara now will give us the reason for this tumah. Why is it that pigul, which is a carbon, where the kohen had a machshava, he says, well, I'm going to have the basar passed. I'm going to eat it past the allotted time. The carbon is called pigul and becomes pusel. That is metame one's hands, or if he leaves some meat, some of the basar past the allotted time, that noisar is metame yadayim. Why? Why do we have that tumah midrabbanan? Says the Gemara, Rav Huna v'Rav Chisda, both these amoraim, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, each one gave a reason. Chadamar, one said, Mishum chash de kahuna. We're concerned about those kohanim who are chashed, or suspected of doing something wrong. The Gemara soon will elaborate on this. And that's why we have the tumah on the pigul. V'chadamar, and the other one, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, so the other one said, Mishum asle kahuna. The reason why we have a tumah is on account of the lazy kohanim who will perhaps leave the basar past the allotted time, and that's why we have a tumah to deter this type of behavior. Let's take a look at the Rashbam, two lines from the bottom. Chad amar mishum chash de kahuna. The kavanah mefarish da pigul koy. The Gemara soon will tell us this reason of chash de kahuna is specific to the pigul. Right, we're concerned that the kohen perhaps will have reason to do in the owner, get back at him for something, and disqualify his carbon by making it pigul. That's why the chachamim applied a tumah to prevent this type of situation. So chash de kahuna is the basis for tumah applied to pigul. V'chad amar, the other one explained, mishum as de kahuna. The kavanah mefarish da noiser koy. This reason of as de kahuna was meant to explain the tumah by noiser. We're concerned about procrastination, about laziness, and perhaps allowing the basar out of negligence, allowed to become noiser. Therefore, the chacham applied a tumah. If it becomes tamei, your hands are tamei. If it becomes noiser, you touch it, your hands become tamei. But let me plead, actually, there's no machlekes. Elochad mefarish time of the pigul. One was explaining the time for pigul, the chash de kuna. V'chad mefarish tam de noisar. The other madam was explaining the tam of noisar. Mishum asle kahuna. Continues the Gemara. What is the minimum shiur requirement for tumah? Chadam or kezayis. One of these two, Rav Huna Rav Chisda, said the minimum shiur is a kezayis. Kezayis of pigul is tummy. Kezayis of noisar is tummy. V'chadam or kebeitza. Kezayis is not enough. You need to have a kebeitza equal to the volume of an egg. Explains the Gemara. There's actually no machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda regarding the reasons, the basis for the tumah. Although one spoke about chash de kuna, one spoke about as de kuna, chatoni a pigul. One was in reference to pigul, chatoni a nois, and the other one was in reference to nois, as the Gemara explains. Man de toni a pigul, the one who was coming to explain pigul, mishum chash de kuna. He was the one who said, it's on account of the chashudei, the ones that are suspected of doing things in a way which will deliberately disqualify the carbon. V'choshet, perhaps that the kohen will have done it, b'meizit it. And therefore we say, pigul is tami, to discourage that type of behavior. Mat the tani, anoisar, the other mandama who was explaining the reason for noisar, he was the one who said, mishum asli kuhun, on account of the lazy kohen. Let's take a look at the Rashbam again. So it would be the top line of the Rashbam. Chad tani a pigul, v'chad tani anoisar. Chad mefarish tamid masnis in my time of pigul matame seidaim. One was coming to explain the reason for pigul being tamid. V'chad mefarish tamid masnis in my time of noisar matame eseidaim. The other one was explaining the reason for noisar. Mishum chash dikuna. Gazer chachamim tuma shelo yifaglu beratzen. Chachamim applied a tuma to pigul to discourage the kohanim from making it pigul willingly, deliberately. Laavse sabalim to damage the owner. V'yoyimru shoygig in hayinol, say, well, it was just a shoygig, it was a mistake. And therefore, Chacham said, it becomes tame. This will discourage this type of behavior. You see, because if it's amazing, the Gemara Kitten says they're chayiv to pay. If we know that it was done willingly, then have to pay. But they'll say, well, it was just a shay. We didn't realize that this is going to make it piggle. So it's interesting. Tosis asks, early in the Masechta, he says, so what's the solution in order to dissuade them from doing this type of thing? So we make a tame. Well, think for a second. This kohen is obviously not too concerned about A, being over the isser of making a pigle. It's a lav. You're not allowed to have that machshav. You're not allowed to speak these words that make a pigle. You're not allowed to do it. It's a lav. He wasn't worried about that. B, he wasn't worried about ruining the owner's carbon, stealing his carbon. So that he disregards. But tuma, he's petrified of tuma. If we say it's going to be tummy, that will deter him from doing it. Isn't that astounding? Why would you'd be more concerned about becoming tummy than doing all these sermons? Taisus says that indeed evidently that's the way things went in those days. There was a tkufa in history that people were more concerned about tuma tahara than about gezel and other sermons. It brings a Gemara in Yuma where there was a question of ritzicha, of murdering, and the primary concern was what? Not about the person that died, but whether they cleave the knife as tummy or not. So evidently, tuma and spirituality was of primary importance, and in their eyes was perhaps even superior, and overrode the other concerns of gezel and the yisr making a pigle. That's what Chacham applied that as a solution to the problem. Make a tummy. This will discourage the kohen from making a pigle. Continues the Rashbam. V'Rabbeinu Pirush Oitam Acher. Rabbeinu seems to be Rashi. He added another pshat. Why would the kohen make a pigle? So according to the first pshat, he wanted to even up his accounts with the owner. He had some gripes with the owner, and he was mefagel his karm. The second pshat is like this. L'fisha shlomim heim. V'ein l'kohen b'hen el'chaza v'shoik. The kohen here was dealing with a shlomim. And even the kohen who's makir v'shlom only gets a small portion of the shlom, chaza v'shoik. And he wants to get more. So what does he do? In his mind, he thinks, well, if I'll make it into a chatas, then I'll get the whole carbon. V'yishachtem b'meizi l'shem chatas. K'dei l'oichlan kulon, to have the whole carbon. Perhaps that was his motive. Not to do in the owner, not to be master the owner, rather to derive more hana, more benefit, by turning the shlamim to achatas. So that's the pshat that the Rashbam brings. But he's not happy with this pshat. Because when we say pigle, it's a very specific type of psol. Chutz l'zmanoi. He has a machshav, I'm going to eat the basar beyond his man achila. The ain pigle el b'shechet amanas l'echol b'menu chutz l'zmanoi. As opposed to this case, v'ashechet shlamim l'shem chatas, ain't ka pigle, that's not called pigle. The carbon is actually still kosher. It doesn't count for the owner, meaning he has to bring another one, but it's still kosher. And that's not what the Chachama meant. That's not what the Chachama were talking about when they said pigle is a metame yadayim. That's a very specific type of carbon. It becomes pigle, it becomes puzzle. So evidently we're speaking that he had machshava to eat chutz l'zmanei. But if it's just, I'm doing the shlom l'shem chatas, that's not what the Gemara is referring to. And actually another problem here, because in reality, the kohen really didn't accomplish much. So not only was he a gazlan, but he was also unlearned fellow, because even if he has machshava l'shem chatas, it doesn't turn into a chatas. It affects the carbon. It adversely affects the carbon, as Rashbam says, the Baal has to bring another one. He wasn't yoytze with this. But A, it's kosher, and it's a shlomim. It doesn't really turn into a chatas. So he doesn't really gain much by doing that. In any case, Rosh Hashanah doesn't like this pshat. Speaking about a plain, simple pigle, where he's mafsa the carbon, makes it puzzle. Chacham concerned about that, being done b'mezit. Therefore, they apply the tumah to deter the kohen from doing that. So that was the reason of pigle. Continues Rosh Hashanah. Mishlom asli kuhuna. Why was noiser tome? Shlois atzlo b'achila. They shouldn't approach the achila lazily. V'odin l'Yisrael. Now, although the Gemara mentions kohen, of course it applies to Yisraelim as well. If you have a carbon, a shlamim, which you need to eat, He meant to eat it within the Zman Achila, and there's a concern of procrastination and laziness, and therefore Chachamim apply to Tumah. If it's going to be nicer, your hands will become tummy. And this one's sure that it's eaten Toich the Zman. Continues the Gemara. Three lines from the top. There is one machlekes actually between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda regarding the minimum requirement, the minimum shear that qualifies, that has tumah. Chadam or kazayis. The minimum is a kazayis of nisa or pigul. Chadam or kabeitz. The other one set the minimum shear as a kabeitz. Why? Ma'adam or kazayis. The one that held kazayis. Ki suri. It's meant to be equal, similar to the shear of isur. What is the minimum shear for Isra Achila of Noiser? Or Pigle? A Kazayis. Therefore, they established the din of Tumah commensurate to the shear of the Achila, which is a Kazayis. Uma Andoma Kebetza Kudumasa, the one that maintains that the minimum shear of Tumah is Kebetza by Noiser and Pigle. That's because we find that, generally speaking, Manatur, the Eichel needs to be a shear Kebetza in order for it to transmit Tumah to others. So we see that Kibetza is an important benchmark when it comes to Dinei Tumah. Therefore, when they established the Tumah Derabbanon by Nosher and Pigel, it went along with the same guidelines, the minimum shear is a Kibetza. So in conclusion, this is Tumah Derabbanon by Pigel, by Nosher, to encourage appropriate behavior, whether it's by the Pigel concerned about the Kain being mafagel but mazed to ruin the Balaam's carbon. Therefore, the Chachamim established the Tumah there, and by Noisa, on account of atzlus and laziness. We want to make sure you eat the carbon within its time. So, if it's Noisa, it's Tumah, and this will encourage them to eat it within the time. We have a machlekes regarding the minimum shear, whether it's a kabeitza or a kazayis. Interesting to mention that in the Gemara Me'ila, Yudzayin and Beis, we learn that although when it comes to Isura min ha-Torah or Tumah min ha-Torah, we have different things that can be mitzvah for each other. You have a half a zayis of this, or half a zayis of the other thing. You can join together and have a Tumah because we have a total shear of a kibetz or kazayis. However, when it comes to these Tumahs, Pigel and Noiser, the Gemara tells us it won't be mitzvah. For instance, if you hold that the minimum share by Pigel or Noiser is a kazayis. Suppose you have half a zayis of Pigel and a half a zayis of Noiser. And you put them together. Does that constitute a shir kazayis and is a tummy? The Gemara says it's not. And Rashi there explains because, unlike the Tumah min ha-Torah or the Isra min ha-Torah, here it's only midrabanan. It's a takana midrabanan, as Rashi says, you don't want to make a takana the takana. We don't find the Chacham made a double decker takana. So since the whole Isra is just a takana midrabanan, if you don't have a shear, it's not tummy at all. You can't combine a little bit of pigle, a little bit of nicer together to get your tummy. Let's see the Mishnah. Beirach birchas ha-Pesach. The Rashbam will explain for us that there's a bracha that one makes upon eating the Korban Pesach. Asher kitchonav mitzvah sevitzvanu lechel ha-Pesach. However, the Korban Chagiga has a different bracha. Asher kitchonu mitzvoise v'tzivanu lechel hazevach, a different bracha. Suppose he has both korbanos in front of him, Pesach and the chagiga that comes together with the Pesach, which is really a shlamim. He had a bracha on the korban Pesach, lechel ha-Pesach. Is he going to be yoytze the shlamim as well, the chagiga as well? Says the Mishnah, yes. Bireich birchas ha-Pesach, he made the bracha, the proper bracha on the Korban Pesach, patar eshel zevach. He was pointed the bracha on the zevach, on the chagiga, which is a shlamim. Apparently, the bracha on the Korban Pesach is an all-encompassing bracha, which somehow, we're going to see soon in the Gemara, the explanation, the reason for this, it somehow includes and can be applied to the shlamim as well. And therefore, there's no need to make another bracha on the shlamim, on the chagiga. However, in the reverse, it doesn't work. Birech eshel zevach, he made the bracha on the zevach, on the chagiga, on the shlomim. Loi pata eshel zevach, he was not pointed the bracha on the Korban Pesach. The Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that the Korban Pesach is the primary element here, and the bracha on the Korban Pesach stands higher, so to speak, than the bracha on the Karm Chagig, and therefore the Karm Pesach's bracha will be mitzi the Chagig as well. But the bracha on the Chagig will not be mitzi the Karm Pesach. You have to make another bracha on the Karm Pesach. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. Pesach and Chagig, two separate entities. And likewise, the brachas are two separate brachas, unrelated, unlinked, and loizu poiterazu. This bracha is not poita the other one, veloizu poiterazu, and this one is not poita the first one. You have to make a separate bracha on the Pesach and the Chagig. Now, the obvious kashir is, we know that after the Korban Pesach, you're not meant to eat anything. Korban Pesach is meant to be the last item on the menu, ala soiva. We have to have Tom Pesach bepiv throughout the night. So how is it that he would even encounter such a situation where he has a Pesach and a Chagiga before him and he'd like to eat both? And the Mishnah says if he makes a bracha on the Pesach to eat the Pesach, he doesn't have to make a bracha on the Chagiga when he proceeds to the Chagiga. Why would he even eat a Chagiga after Pesach? So the Farshan bring a rife in this Mishnah to the Shita Saramam, who says that although Pesach is meant to be eaten ala soiva, and the last item on the menu, have the tam linger in your mouth throughout the night. However, that's not to say that you cannot eat the Korban Pesach in a situation which does not conform to ala soiva. Meaning, the Rambam clearly explains this. He says, Bizman HaMikdash, they would do it as follows. They would have part of the Korban Pesach earlier on in the Suda, even though it was not ala soiva, as long as he kept a kazayas, reserved it just a little bit for the end of the meal, and had that as the last achil of the night. Ala soiva, tam pesach bepiv. And the Brisker Rav explains that according to the Rambam, there's no iser of eating pesach shaloi ala soiva. There are two elements in the Karam Pesach. There's mitzvah achilas pesach, even if he's hungry, even if it's not ala soiva, even if it's the first item on the menu. He's yotze mitzvah achilas pesach. There's no iser to eat it in that fashion. But the Rambam holds, you have to be yotze ala soiva as well, and you could be yotze even with just a kazayis. Apparently, the Rambam holds that the reason for the pesach being at the end is it should be like the Rashbam said, l'gdula l'melucha, it should look like a royal manner of eating, calm and at ease and partially full, not in a state of hunger. So, as long as he's mekayim that, wants to mekayim that as well, fine. Save a kazayis for the end of the meal and have it done. And the same thing with the tam pesach bepiv. He must walk away from the seder as the pesach, with the pesach leaving the last impression. That can be fulfilled by having at least one kazayis at the end of the meal. And that explains the Mishnah. He's at the beginning of a seder. He has the chagiga here. He has the pesach. And he happens to make a bracha on the Pesach first. According to Mishmal, he's pointed the bracha on the Zevach. Let's see the Rashbam here. You notice the word masnisen, which is about 12 lines from the top of the Rashbam's here. Masnisen. Birchas ha-Pesach u-birchas ha-Zevach mefarsh b'tesefta. The tesefta explains what the brachas are. Eze birchas ha-Pesach baruch ata Hashem alkein melech ha-olam asher kidshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu Lech la Pesach. So it's a specific bracha describing the Korban Pesach. Ezo hi birchas ha-zevach. Baruch ata Hashem, alkein melech ha-olam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, lech la zevach. Now what zevach are we speaking about? V'hai zevach haynu chagigas yudalit habor ha-pesach. That's the chagiga, the shlam that comes with the Pesach. According to the Chacham, the point was to have that first, so that the Pesach which comes later will be eaten ala soiva when he's partially full. That's one pshat. Inami, another pshat is Nedarim Nedav is the involuntary korban shikriv erev ha-pesach, which he brought yesterday, v'echum b'leh ha-pesach, which he eats tonight. So it's just a shlamim, which he's going to have tonight at the Seder. Plukta, the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva, farshin time of Gemara, the Gemara soon will explain it. Hagar sinan, beirach ala zevach le-potar es ha-pesach, beirach ala peta, ha-pesach, potar es ha-zevach, de Rabbi Shmuel. So at this point we have like this. Rabbi Kiva says, the two things are unrelated. Rabbi Shmuel says the bracha on Korban Pesach will also be applied to the zvachim, to the shlamim, to the chagiga. Apparently, Rav Shmuel holds, and the Achronim, Rav Aaron Kotel explains, apparently he holds that a Pesach is really a type of Shlomim. It's like a subcategory of Shlomim. It has Shlomim element within it. On top of that, it's also a Pesach. That explains Rav Shmuel's halacha. If you make a bracha on the Pesach, you've automatically made a bracha on Shlomim as well, because within the Pesach, there's a Shlomim element. So when he proceeds to have his Shlomim afterwards, his Chagiga, there's no need to make another bracha. He was already might see that Shlomim by making a bracha on the Pesach, which in itself contains a Shlomim element within it. So according to Bishmol, apparently a Pesach is a combined entity, a combined Pesach Shlomim entity. And therefore the bracha on Pesach is also automatically considered a bracha on a Shlomim. And there's no need to make another bracha come the Shlomim, when he proceeds to have a Shlomim. Whereas according to Rekiva, Pesach is Pesach, Shlomim is Shlomim, and you can't apply this reasoning. And therefore the bracha on the Pesach cannot work for the Shlomim. Continues the Gemara. Keshetim tzeleimar. You know, if you analyze the shittas of Rav Shmuel and Rekiva, you can actually come up with an interesting halach with another application to this halach. According to Bishma, as we just explained, the Pesach has within it two elements, a Pesach aspect and a Shlomim aspect. And that's why the bracha al ha-Pesach can be applied for Shlomim as well. Otherwise, it wouldn't work for Pesach. Because the Pesach is also a type of Shlomim. The fact that the bracha Asher Kitchonu al ha-Pesach works for Pesach indicates to us that the Pesach has a Shlomim element within it, and therefore the bracha on the Pesach is considered also a bracha on Shlomim. If that's the case, when it comes to the Hakrova, we're going to have an afkimin, because we know there are different types of matan damim, different types of applying the dam on the mizbeach. There's something called shficha, where he stands very close to the mizbeach and pours it on the base, on the yisoid. He doesn't spritch it, doesn't sprinkle, doesn't throw it. Shvicha means benachas. It's a more direct application. Whereas some kabbalists have zrika, where you toss the dam, you throw it on the mizbeach, you spritch it. Now the Karban Pesach required shvicha, which is a more direct application. Shlomim requires zrika. Now, if we just finished saying that a Karban Pesach is really a combined Pesach and Shlomim entity, right? As we just explained, that's why the bracha of the Pesach is really considered a bracha and a Shlomim as well. So, when he goes and does the Matan Damim on the Mezbeach, which by Pesach means Shvich, the question is, how is he Yotzei the Hakrova of the Shlomim within that Pesach? It's a Pesach, but also a Shlomim. Apparently, Shvicha stands higher than Zrika, because it's a more direct application. You're pouring it softly, directly. It's not throwing it from far. So within Shvicha, sort of, is Zrika. It's superior. It stands higher. It's as though within your Shvicha, you have your Zrika. Like Gemara says, Bechlal Masayimana, within 200, you have 100. So it's included within the Shvicha. And that's why you can bring the Pesach b'Shvicha, because the Shvicha works for the Pesach and also works for the Shlomim within the Pesach. Shlomim needs a Zrika, but once you did Shvicha, you will see the Zrika as well. Ah, says the one, if that's the case, we can learn from here an interesting halacha. L'din Rabbi Shmuel, Zrika b'chlal Shvicha. Zrika is included in a Shvicha, as we just explained. And therefore, let's say he brought a Shlomim, an ordinary Shlomim, not on Pesach, throughout the year. And instead of doing Zrika, which is the proper Hakrova of the Dam Shlomim, he decides to do Shvicha. That's okay. Perhaps not L'chatchila, but Zrika b'chlal Shvicha, within Shvicha is included Zrika, because Shvicha stands higher. It's better than Zrika, as we just learned. That's why the shvich of the Pesach is good, because although within the Pesach you have a shlamim element, which needs zrika, and you only did shvicha, which is the matan dam of the Pesach, you still yaitze, it works. Apparently, it's because although the shlamim element within the Pesach needs zrika, but once you do shvicha for the Pesach, it's all inclusive. Because zrika b'chal shvicha. V'chal shvicha b'chal zrika. But not the reverse. Shvicha is not included in zrika. Meaning, suppose he brings his korban Pesach, which needs shvicha, and instead sprinkles it down, throws it, does zrika. Doesn't work. Because shvicha stands higher. It's superior to zrika. It can't be yoytze shvicha by doing something less, something inferior, zrika. Therefore, we conclude according to Bishmal, shvicha stands higher than zrika. If when you were supposed to do zrika, you substituted with a shvicha, that's okay. But in the reverse, if you meant to do shvicha and you merely did zrika, that doesn't work. However, according to Bekiva, the two things are unrelated. Why? Let's backtrack. Bekiva says, if you make a bracha on the Korban Pesach, Pesach is Pesach. It's not a, it's not considered a type of shlam. It now has assumed the identity of a Korban Pesach. New status called Pesach. You make the bracha, Asher Gitchonu, to eat the Pesach, you could only have Pesach. You have to make another bracha for the shlam. Apparently, we don't look at it. We don't treat the Pesach as a combined entity, as a joined Pesach and Shlomim. And if that's the case, we can understand very well why Shvicha of Pesach works, because it's a Pesach. It's not as though it has a Shlomim within it. It's only a Pesach, therefore Shvicha works. So according to Rabbi Kiva, we have no reason to think that Shvicha could be done on account of Zrika, and certainly not Zrika on account of Shvicha. Did Rabbi Kiva? Loi shvicha b'chal zrika. Shvicha is not included in zrika. V'loi zrika b'chal shvicha. And even zrika is not included in shvicha. The two things are unrelated, two separate akrovis, two separate methods of matan dam. You can't do one in lieu of the other. So again, just for clarity, we have two shittas regarding the bracha. Rabbi Shmuel says, you make a bracha on the Pesach. Since a Pesach is a joint Pesach shlamim entity, has both elements within it, when you make a bracha on the Pesach, you've automatically also made a bracha on Shlomim, which is hiding in that Pesach, so to speak. And therefore, when he proceeds to have his Shlomim, there's no need to make another bracha. And therefore, the Gemara says, apparently, within Shvicha, which is the appropriate method for the Dam of Pesach, within that is also included Zrika, meaning Shvicha stands higher and encompasses Zrika as well. And that's why the Pesach, although it's also a shlamim, and a shlamim needs zrika, the shvicha of the Pesach, the shvicha which stands higher, the shvicha that you're doing for the Pesach, will be mighty the zrika, because you can do shvicha in lieu of zrika. Whereas Rabbi Kiva says, no, Pesach is Pesach. Shlamim is shlamim. Each one is a standalone carbon. Don't mix them up. Each one needs its own unique bracha, and its own unique form of akrava. Now, just another thing, interesting thing that's in place to mention here. The Rashbam quoted this after regarding the brachas of the Achilas HaKarvan. A Pesach needs a specific bracha, Lechala Pesach. The Chagiga has a different carbon, Lechala Zevach. Now, what about Chatos, Asham? Does each one need a specific bracha, like we have by foods? It's Ha'ez, it's Ha'dam, it's Mzainis. So it's interesting that the Tosefta in Brachos, Perakei, seems to say that no, it's a general bracha for all karbanos. All karbanos, whether it's shlamim, achatos, you'll make the same bracha. Lechel, it says lechel zvachim. Rashbam says lechel zevach. So whatever it is, it's a generic bracha. You don't make a specific bracha for each special karban. But there are other, there's a Mishnah Melech, I think, in the Rambam, who says that each carbon needs its own bracha. So the Kohen, when he approaches the Chatos, he's going to make a bracha al Chatos, al Lechel Chatos, al Chitachitachitach Chatos, and so on and so forth. Now, according to the other Shita, which is the Pashtus of the Tesefta, that all Zvachim have one standard nusach lechel zvachim, or menachos have wants to add a nusach lechel mincha. Kasha is, how do we understand this Mishnah, which seems to separate between chatas, which needs its own Pesach, which needs its own bracha, and the shlamim, which needs a generic bracha lechel zemach? Why would Pesach be different? If we say that shlamim, chatas, asham all have the same bracha lechel zemach, lechel zvachim, so why is Pesach different? Why do we make a special, unique bracha of lechel zemach? So the Farshim explain like this: there's a big difference within the mitzvah sachila of the korban between Pesach and other korbanos. You see, when it comes to other korbanos, all the Rashi early in the Masechta tells us there's a mitzvah say. Even when the Yisrael, with Hashem, you bring a korban, when Mashiach comes, a shlamim, you sit down to have that basar, you be mekayim a mitzvah sasei min haTorah. Which mitzvah say? V'ochlo oisam ashakupa behem, which applies not only to the kohanim, also to the Yisraelim who eat their chelik of the korban. So there is a mitzvah sasei involved, but it's a mitzvah kiyumis. You're fulfilling a mitzvah. There's no chiv upon you. There's no obligation for this specific Yisrael to eat the carbon. If somebody else eats it, that's okay. You have to ensure that the carbon is eaten, that there's no noisar. And certainly if you eat it, you makai mitzvah say, but there's no chiv, it's not an obligatory mitzvah. It's a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah chiyumis, as opposed to the Pesach, which is unique in this sense. Because over there we really have two, it's almost like some say you have two mitzvahs when you eat the carbon Pesach. You're eating a carbon, but in addition to that, you're being makayim the mitzvah achilas carbon Pesach, which is really the whole purpose of the carbon Pesach, la'achila, as we learned in the Masechta. Right? That's when you bring it to tumah, you'll still eat it. The point, shleibo mitchilos el la'achila, we had that Mishnah, the whole point of the carbon is to eat it. And there's a chiv upon you, Reuven. You have to eat the carbon. You have to bring the Pesach and eat it. So that explains why it has its own bracha, which sets it apart from the other korbanos. Other korbanos need to be eaten, yeah, but anybody can really eat them. I mean, mekayim that mitzvah, but Pesach is incumbent upon the balam to have his carbon to eat and eat it. In addition to being mekayim the general mitzvah of eating kashem, he's being mekayim his chiv of bringing and eating his carbon Pesach. That's why it earns its own unique bracha, asher kishonu mitzvos etzvanu lech la'Pesach. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Simloi ikla lepidin haben. Rabbi Simloi came to a pidin haben. Rashbam will soon tell us how this comes into the sugi here. In any case, he arrives at the pidin haben. Bo minei, they asked him a shaila. Well, we know the following. Pshita, this is obvious. Al pidin haben, when we have a pidin haben, and we have the bracha, asher kishonu mitzvos etzvanu al pidin haben, who says that bracha? Aviyah ben Mubarak. Certainly the father of the infant makes that bracha. It's his mitzvah, it's his chiyuv to redeem his son, to give the five slime to the kohen on account of his bechor. It's his mitzvah. So that's pasha to us. What about the next bracha? That we want to know. Baruch shechiyono v'kimono v'giyono l'zman hazeh. That bracha, which is said at a time of joy, at a time when a person has a big hanah, purchases something very significant, or when he's mekayim a mitzvah, which is a periodic mitzvah, which comes mizman lizman, such as pidin haben. So that bracha, who's going to say it? Kohen mevarach? Is that something that Kohen will say? Or Yavi ben mevarach? Or the father? As they explain. Kohen mevarach, should the Kohen make the bracha? The kamati hanol yadeh. Because he's deriving benefit. He's getting the money. Now the Rashba explains, of course, just earning five slime, that's not enough of a reason to make the Shechiyama. He says it's no different than the other matnas kuhuna, the truma, etc. The kohen doesn't make a bracha of a Shechiyama. Rather, here we're speaking in a case where he's involved in the process of the mitzvah. He's a recipient of the chamisha slime, which enables the pidyon. There are really two individuals involved in the mitzvah, the father and the kohen. And the Gemara wants to know, perhaps the kohen should be the one making the bracha. And the Mefarshim explained, the Rashash says he's going to be moitzi the father. The father has to make a Shechiyanu because he's actually doing the mitzvah. The question is, who do we prefer as far as making the bracha? He's going to make the bracha and exempt the other one. Should the kohen do it? Because A, he's involved in the mitzvah. B, he's walking away with hana. He has olam haz and olam haba. And therefore, he's the one to make the bracha of Shechiyanu, or Yavi Ben Mevarach, or rather, the father should make the bracha, the Ka'avad Mitzvah, because look, he is the one enabling, he's the one that's the Gerim, he's making the Mitzvah. It's his Chiv, and he's doing the Pidyon. Sure, the Kohen is participating, but he is the father is the main player here. So, we have two sides to the equation. Should the father make the Shechiyanu because he is the primary individual, or should the Kohen make the bracha? Because although he's really secondary to the Balaam, but he's really involved, he's participating in the mitzvah, and number two, he's getting hana. And perhaps it's appropriate for him to make the Shechiyanu, and we might see the father. So this was the question posted by Simloi. He didn't have a response. Also, Shol Bei Midrasha. So he came to the Reis Medrash and he asked the Shaila. Amulei, they responded, Avia Ben Mevarach Shtayim. It's the father that makes both brachas. Asher Kishonim, it's Faisav Al Pidna Ben, and also the Shechiyanu. Vehilchasa, and that's the Halacha, Avia Ben Mevarach Shtayim. It's the father that makes both brachas. Apparently, he carries more weight. He's the one doing the mitzvah. The Kohen is just on the receiving end. And therefore, the father should be the one thanking Hashem. Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'gionaz mazeh. So appropriate to end the Masechta with this bracha. Let's just see the Rashbam. Rav Simloi Ikla. How does this fit into the sugya? Says the Rashbam, Mishum da'ayrim asnisim. Bishnei minei brachas badam echad u'masav echad. We just finished the Mishnah and the Gemara discussing two types of brachas involving one person, involving one experience. Hatol zeh b'zeh. Kigoyin Pesach v'zevach. Shechagig yiboyim ha-Pesach. We just discussed a shaila regarding two brachas on the Pesach and the Zevach. It's the same person involved in one experience because the Pesach is secondary to the Zevach comes on account of the Pesach. It's one sitting, and that's why b'shemachin nakat nami lai uvda ben. That's what takes us to the next story of the pidyon ben, which also entails two brachas, and as we conclude, the father, the Adam Echad, involved in the Masa Echad, who made two brachas. I saw another pshat that the Mashman Tosis like that the pshat in Rabbi Shmuel, why is it that the bracha on the Pesach is mighty the bracha on the Chagiga? Because which carbon stands higher? It's like the Iker and Tuffel we have in Maseches Brachas. You have the primary food and the secondary food, you have the bread with something else. The bracha on the Iker, we mighty the Tuffel. Here as well, according to Rabbi Shmuel, since the Pesach stands higher, that's the he's the main player of the night. He's the he makes the event, the Karban Pesach. And therefore, the bracha on the Pesach, we moist the chagiga, which is merely coming in a zevach. It accompanies the zevach. It's subordinate to the zevach. It's secondary to the zevach. It's considered like a tuffel. And that takes us to the sugya of Pidyon Ben. The question was, perhaps the Shechiyanu belongs to the Kohen because he's walking away with the money, or does it belong to the owner, the father, because he's the one doing the mitzvah? The conclusion is what? Avia Ben does the bracha. Why? Because you're right, the Kohen, he has hana, but it's secondary hana. It's a mitzvah hana, and is being generated by the mitzvah. It's not an independent thing. It's not a standalone entity. The Chamesh Shleim is part and parcel of the mitzvah. So the Kohen is getting some residual hana, but it's as a result of the mitzvah. And who? Let's look at the mitzvah. Who is doing the mitzvah? The Avia Ben. And just like the case of the Chagiga, which is tough to the Pesach, therefore included in the Pesach here as well, the Kohen's role here is secondary and tuffel, and sort of included in the Avia Ben's role. That's what the Gemara concludes, that both brachos belong to the Avia Ben, and he'll be mitzi the Kohen with the Shechiyanu. Hadron Loch Masachas Psachim, Vadra Chalon, Data Loch Masachas Psachim, Data Chalon, Loy Nisan Shem Menach Masachas Psachim, Loy Sisu Shem Nan, Loy Baal Modem, Abba Mod Asi, Bez Hashem, we should be Zechet, when many more Masachas together, Ad Vies Geor Tzedek, when we'll all be Zechet, to bring the Korn Pesach, Bez Hamidosh, Amen, 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 Meher Meinu, Amen. Be well, Hatzlachara. I know you've been
lo siz de zoy sa ko yiro ki hi yi lo nu oy zmi yo yiro oy zmi yo yiro no yil de lo siz de zoy sa ko yiro ki hi yi lo nu oy zmi yo yiro I know you will know what this is, I saw you know. He you love me with the yo you know. Oh, you think you don't know, you will know what this is, I saw you know. He love me with the yo you know. So it's time.